Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening. It's me, the Monk.
Have you ever listened to Trash Station Thoughts? That doesn't seem too hard. I can do that. Well, you're in luck, because today I want to talk about Anchor, the easiest way to make podcasts, and it's completely free. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. I mean, it's literally what we're using now. They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. And you can add any songs from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are literally endless. You can make anything, music analysis, talk shows, or even an anime podcast that talks about anime. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you want to give podcasting a go, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Anyway, back to the episode.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Trash Taste. I am the host for today, Gant, and with me are, as usual, the boys. And as you can see, I am not alone on this side. I am reclaiming the host share as we have a guest on. Would you like to introduce yourself to the crowd?
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Shu Uchida, and I'm a voice actor in Japan. Yeah, nice to meet you guys.
You're not just any voice actor, though.
Yeah. You're in Best Mate. From
anime China. Voice actor.
Anime yeah, voice actor.
Anime voice actor.
Because we're an anime podcast, as the viewership knows.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know the 5% of time we talk about anime?
this is one of those 5%.
Actually, I think this might be the official. Well, first of all, you're the official first guest on the new set.
Yeah,
we're not counting Chris.
Chris ain't a guest anymore. This is the first real guest episode
exactly.
of the new studio.
First real guest, yeah. But also, like, I think people have pointed out in your accent, or figured out from your accent, that you're Australian.
Yes, I am Australian.
Yeah,
yes. and you're Australian too, right?
And I literally went to school with you.
Yeah, it's so weird.
So to explain off screen, we just found out that these two went to the same kind of school together, and they know each other as like childhood friends or something like that. So do you guys want to explain that? What happened with that?
Well, the Japanese community in Australia, like, the parents there send like their kids to like this thing called Saturday school. So we have school on Saturdays from around 10 to like 1 p.m.
Yeah.
And then, we were in different classes because you were like in a higher grade than
I think. I'm 2 years older than you.
Yeah.
So, but I was in the same class as her older sister.
Yeah.
Right.
About 7 years or something.
Yeah.
And because the school is so small because the community is so small, you naturally hang out with kids who are younger than you and older than you.
Yeah.
So I would see Shu in like the playground and stuff. And
it's really like the meme where like every Asian knows each other, but it's actually true.
In Australia,
every Japanese person knows each other. Not only did I go to, I was in the same class as her sister, but like, we used to like hang out like not too often. Though,
yeah, not
right?
too often, but
but
like
we had so many mutual friends that I think it's just like naturally we knew each other.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and now she's an anime voice
actor. And now you both work in the anime industry.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I gotta ask, like, in this, like, Japanese community, were there many people who wanted to work in the anime industry? Because you know how it is with, like, the weeb culture. It's like, you see an anime fan, and they're like, oh, I want to work in anime. You're like, all right, weeb, all right. What was it like for, like, the Japanese community?
I don't know. I mean, I think at that point, I wasn't even really thinking about all. I think
too busy enjoying the weeb life.
I was too busy enjoying
getting involved.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I don't know, because I think even back then, like, I knew I always wanted to like live and work in Japan.
Yeah.
But I think like the whole like anime industry side of things was just kind of like a dream.
Yeah. You
know? Like, so mystical. No one knows anything
about
it.
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah, it's like, true. I wouldn't, like, back then I was like, how do you even like begin to try and get into an industry like that, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if I end up working in it, it's like, cool. But like, it wasn't like I was chasing the weeb dream.
You know?
It's
like,
right. I'm definitely gonna like work for Kyoto Animation when I'm older. Like, work for Studio Trigger when I'm older.
You're like, yeah. You're like, I was on that hustle since age 10. Yeah. I was on that hustle to get in the anime industry.
I was on that sucker grind. Well, it's like, no, but I mean, I don't know. Did you know anybody? Like, what was it like for you? Like, did you always wanted to become an anime voice actress or whatever?
Well, for me, I was like opposite to you. And I was like, I really want to become a voice actor and I'm going to become a voice actor.
Oh, you're on that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so, but I didn't know anyone around me who wanted to become like, you know, someone who was in the anime industry. So like for me, it was just me like wanting to come to Japan to get into this industry.
Because I think the majority of like the people at our Saturday school weren't even really like thinking to be in Japan.
Yeah.
I think, because like even to this day, like most of my Japanese friends from that Saturday school, most of them still live in Sydney.
Same.
Are just like normal English speaking, everyday job kind of thing. So it's like, yeah, I think Shu and I are the weird ones.
I mean, I already hear the word Saturday school and I'm like, you guys are crazy. My God, 5 days of school was enough for me. One more day in the weekend, nah. Mother, I am not attending another school day, okay?
I fought like hell to get out of Sunday school.
Yeah.
It was my biggest battle of life.
I mean, to be fair, like I personally didn't even see it as like a school. For me, it was more just like a hangout to like hang out with like all
they
my Japanese
friends. They fucking tricked you. They sold you on another day of school.
I mean, like again, like it's not like I didn't learn anything, right? Like obviously, especially when you get to, because the school we had, it started from kindergarten, so like what, you're like 4 or 5 years old, all the way up until ninth grade, where you're
brainwashed.
I'm just hearing indoctrination here. Get them while they're young, build a habit, and they'll love it. They'll learn to love it.
They'll love it.
It's like what, Stockholm syndrome. Yeah.
I think obviously the viewers are probably wondering, what are some shows that you voiced in? Because that's probably going to be the first thing they want.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Probably should mention that, and then we could chat.
And then we can go. I
voice Mia Taylor from Love Live School Idol Festival All-Stars. I also voice Warspite, Ark Royal, Perth, Mikura, and Gambia Bay from Kankore. Kantai Collection Kankore.
That's a big collection right there.
I also voice Fujiwara-san from Asobi Asobase. And a lot more. I'm in Doraemon and...
You're in Doraemon?
Yeah.
I think that's the true weeb dream, right? Where it's like you're in a show that has literally shaped your childhood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm also in Xinjiang.
Oh, really? Oh, you're in Xinjiang?
Like just a bit. Yeah. Sometimes.
That's so cool.
I'm a scream.
Like I mostly do like dogs and cats.
Hey, you're in. Run with it.
But yeah. I'm in like animes and games and stuff like that. So yeah.
Awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I feel like you're downplaying it. You should be like, I am in anime and games.
Yeah.
Not like
That's not a thing most people can say.
I don't think you realize the literal hundreds and thousands of people who watch our show who only dream to be in your position.
Really?
Exactly. You're an actual real anime voice actress. That's like most people dream to be that. And you fucking managed to achieve it. So congratulations.
Yeah. I'm an anime. No, I'm a voice actor.
I'm an anime.
I am anime. I just want to point out, because I know the viewer's going to point out as well, how comically large I look sitting next to you. Because I'm seeing myself on screen and I'm like, if you thought you just tuned into the newest season of Attack on Titan, I assure you, this is trash taste.
It's literally the meme of like 6 feet versus
especially on that camera, I look so comically large with that perspective.
Well, it's a wide angle. You know? People on the edge is a good look.
In this camera, I look massive next to Chris.
You are massive next to me.
I am massive. I'm just built like that.
That's what I have to do to go to Saturday school.
Yeah. You just build different. Yeah. Just come out of Saturday school like a chad.
So you mentioned that you wanted to be a voice actor from a young age.
Yes.
When did that start then? Walk me through the process. I'm interested.
Well, I started liking anime because my sister used to like anime. Mm. And then so I used to watch anime with her. And I wanted to become a voice actor when I was in primary school.
Very young then.
Very young.
I didn't even know that was like a job when I was in primary school.
Oh, really?
I think I was just like funny acting people. I don't know.
I just thought the characters just existed.
Yeah. I was like, there are people involved.
Goku's there somewhere in the world, right? I'm sure he exists.
I was watching Bleach with my sister. Mm. And you know, Hitsugaya is voiced by Pakuromi-san, who's like, she's like a woman and she's like voice acting a a boy.
Yeah.
So I was really like fascinated by that. And I was like, oh, I really want to become a voice actor. And then from then on, I was kind of like, I told my parents that I wanted to become a voice actor in Japan. And, you know, like typical Asian parents, they're like, like maybe that isn't
you
like
want
really
to be
good.
An artist.
Yeah.
What is a voice actor? Yeah. I've never heard of that job before. Do you need a degree to get it?
Yeah. And what was interesting was that at Saturday school, I used to get like super low marks, like in my test.
Right,
so okay. My parents were like, "Well, like you're getting such low marks in Japanese, like how are you like, you know, gonna become a voice actor in Japan where it's like, you know, you need to be really good at speaking Japanese and reading Japanese. And then so my parents were like against me, but I was like, I want to become a voice actor in Japan. So in high school I kind of started auditioning for like the schools, the voice acting schools in Japan.
What age in high school?
I think like 16, 17.
Wow.
So like I would like work part-time and then I'll save money and then I'll book a flight to Japan.
Oh my God.
Yeah. To audition.
You
were determined. Yeah.
I was like working like 4 or 5 times a week. And then like on like, you know, during school holidays, I'll be working like 6 times a week or like, you know, just when the...
Holy fuck.
You were really on that grind.
Yeah. Shit. I was like super like, I don't want to become... Yeah. And then like... And a lot of the places told me that because I live overseas, it's kind of like, you know, like...
Yeah, quite hard.
But then I finally like passed the audition and they're like, you know, please come to the school.
Yeah.
And then so I decided to go to Japan. But at that time, I was still in uni.
Okay.
And, you know, like my parents were like, well, isn't it better if you kind of like finish uni and then go to school?
Yeah.
And so I was kind of like, yeah, maybe, but no. And so during the holidays, I like worked more and then I saved up a lot of money. And, you know, in Australia, it's like when you're 18, you can kind of decide everything for yourself.
Yeah.
So like I kind of... quit uni without telling my parents.
I think that's like the worst thing you can do, right? It's like number one no-no.
That's like one step away from eloping.
Holy fuck. I've never actually heard an Asian kid do that. I felt that in my soul, man. Like thousands of my ancestors just screamed right there.
You are the 1% of Asians.
Is this what happens when an Asian unlocks like their final form? I feel like I just witnessed Ultra Instinct IRL, man.
Jesus Christ.
And then so it doesn't stop there. Like I quit uni and then I didn't tell my parents. And
then you were gonna quit uni like for a while, or was it just kind of like, fuck it, I'm doing it?
Well, before going to uni, I wasn't really actually gonna go to uni. But then my parents were like, can you go to uni for at least 1 year? And then so I was like, okay. And then I went to uni for 1 year and then, wait, so what was the question you
asked? Like, when you went into uni, were you like, yeah, I'm not going to stick with this? Or was it like, you just had enough and you're like, fuck it, I'm moving to Japan?
Yeah, I went to the classes there and I was like, nah, like this.
Hell nah.
I had an idea, but I was like, but I guess I did sign up. Like, I'm not Zuckerberg. I don't have an idea. I can't just quit. Do what?
Yeah, and then so I booked the flights to Japan without telling my parents. And I think around a week before the flights, I told my parents that...
See ya.
Because my parents were so against me going to Japan.
Of course.
So like a week before I told my parents, and by then I had already like booked the packaging what is it, like the people who come to take your package to send it to Japan.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah,
post
yeah.
people. And so, yeah.
Well, so they just like showed up and they were like, what's all this? What's all this?
So you literally just sort out all the logistics.
Yeah.
And then oh my God. One day before like the package goes, you're like, Mom, I'm leaving.
Yeah. BT yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. By the way, Mom, going yeah. to Japan.
Yeah. I have to, when you told them, did like boss music start playing? like, what happened when you told them?
Well, I think my parents weren't expecting me to like act in that way, because yeah. like yeah. you know, in school I was that girl that was like, you know, I'd like study a lot and then
then she'd be like psych.
Yeah, yeah. And then so when I told her, she was kind of like okay.
Oh, yeah. Just like top 10 anime betrayals in real life.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, but then yeah. Like because 18 in Australia is like you're considered like an adult, but 18 yeah. in Japan you're still considered like a child, right?
Yeah. 20, right?
Yeah, 20. Yeah.
And then so I had booked the flights to Japan, but I hadn't like rented any like house or like anything. Mm. And I was like, oh, I could just stay in a hotel until I can like rent a house. But then after going to Japan, I realized that you couldn't book a house, like you couldn't rent a house when you're like 18. So
yeah. Yeah.
You can't?
Yeah, no, you can't.
You need parents' permission.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And
because my parents were really against me, right? They wouldn't. They'll right. be like, not nah, like.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so I went through all my contacts and I contacted all my friends and I was like, is anyone in Japan, like, you know, living in Japan? Can I like live with you? Like,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was like one girl that went to the same school, Saturday school, and she.
Yeah. This Saturday school paying off dividends, man.
that's what the torture was all for. It's all worth it in the end.
I'm jealous.
And then, you know, she, like, luckily, she actually had a bunk bed in her room.
Mm.
And the reason why she had a bunk
bed.
Just in
randomly?
Her room, no, well, because, like, her parents would be coming over from Australia to Japan, right. like, once in a while.
Right,
so
right, right.
She was like, oh, I could just, you know, have like a bunk bed so they could sleep there when they come.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she was like, well, I have a bunk bed and, you know, if you're fine with that, then we can live together. So we lived together right. for a while and then I started going to the school there
right.
and that's how it all kind of wow. started.
That's a fucking badass story, man. Holy shit.
Plot or movie.
Jesus Christ.
That's literally like the equivalent of like the OG American dream kind of story where you just like, you pack your bags, you go to like LA or whatever and you just figure it out. And that's kind of what you
did. Yeah. It's literally like, I'm on a quest to find myself. Yeah. It's like that level, right? It's like, parents won't hold me back. I got this. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I assume obviously having native Japanese is a big plus. I've heard that in Japan they're really strict with like pronunciation and then voice acting has to be like perfect.
Yeah. I still have problems with my accent. Like sometimes like, yeah, because like, you know, like even for kanji, there's like so many ways of reading like the same kanji. And then like for accents, it's like, you know, it also depends on the sentence.
Right,
like
right.
the accent changes, you know. And so like, yeah, I'm still like kind of learning my accent.
Right.
But yeah, yeah. I'm getting used to it.
I mean, yeah, I feel that like, especially, I feel like just voice acting agencies like anywhere in any country is like, you know, quite high standards. But I feel Japan especially has some pretty insane standards.
Well, because it's one of the most sought after jobs in Japan, right?
Mm. Like, right, yeah.
There's
yeah.
some huge competition for it here.
Mm-hmm, there is,
after
yeah.
YouTuber.
Of course there is.
All the kids in Japan are like, number one YouTuber, number two voice actor.
Well, I've, you know, you've seen loads of videos about it of like people going into these schools and it's like a military camp. And,
really
you feel
strict.
So bad because you're like, all these people, most of these people are going to have their dreams crushed
because
they're not
like,
going to make it.
Yeah, like what is like the kind of daily routine for, Jesus, what is like the daily routine for like schools like that? Because like you only hear about voice acting schools in Japan, but like, you know, obviously I don't think any of us have been to it or know anything about it.
I mean, it depends on the school. Like some schools, you have to go there like 5 times a week.
Mm.
Some school, they only have it like once a week.
Mm.
And I went to one that was only like once a week and the teachers, they will be really strict. And in Japanese, you call it like taikukaike. It's really like, they're really strict.
Yeah,
right.
Like, yeah, so like we do like, you know, accent and pronunciation. And we also do like, what is it in English? Like katsuzetsu?
Oh, like so that, like, you know, to fix like lisps or
yeah.
like
oh,
stutters
okay, okay.
and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
to like be able to pronounce like all syllables correctly. Yeah, I don't know what it's called in English.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Pronunciation?
Pronunciation, I guess.
Enunciation.
Enunciation. Yeah,
it's a very, very important part that people overlook.
Mm-mm. But then because the teachers were like really strict, like by like 6 months into starting school, like half of the students would start not coming to school.
Right.
And
right.
They'll just kind of like disappear.
Yeah. Disappear. Right, right.
Oh, kind of like uni then.
Yeah. So is it like kind of a strict process for even getting into the school? Like you mentioned you had to audition a bunch and you had to...
Yeah. This also depends on the school. Like some schools are really strict. Some schools, they're not as strict.
Right.
Because like, you know, you learn everything at school. So you know, I think they're looking for like people with like nice voices or like, you know.
Right.
Okay. Know, people who have like potential.
They ever, kick anyone out? They're like, you know, you're terrible. Go home.
Like, well, the auditions, like...
Kind of like that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, it comes through post, like whether you passed or not.
Yeah. Oh, they don't want to tell you in person.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you go to the audition and they're like, okay, thank you. Like, you know, and you go home and then like a week later.
That's just such typical like passive aggressive Japanese.
Yeah. You are terrible. Goodbye.
Yeah. Exactly.
So how long would you typically study at the voice acting school for?
I went to the voice acting school for 2 years. Some people only go for like a year as well.
And you don't get any jobs in that time? It's purely just studying?
Well, for me, I got a job when I was at school.
Yeah.
And that was only because I was able to speak English. It's not really common, yeah.
Right. Mm.
Yeah.
I guess you have the advantage of being bilingual. Right?
Yeah.
So you get like that. You get those English jobs as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just talking to Connor how like being bilingual in this country or in any Asian country, if you want a job in that country, it's just like so easy. It's like a cheat code almost.
I mean, that's, you know, one of the big reasons why I wanted to move here, right? It's because like, you know, in Australia, no one really gives a shit if you can speak Japanese.
Yeah, that's true. That's
like
so true.
The only job you'd probably be able to get is like teaching Japanese the Saturday school for instance, right? But it's like, even then, it's like a lot of Japanese teachers in Australia don't even really speak that good of Japanese.
Yeah. In an alternative timeline, you were an interpreter for the president of
that's probably the only
just talking to like the president of the prime minister of Japan, and Joe's behind him like telling him in the ear.
That's probably like the only like real high-end job you could probably get Japanese. But like here, for example, like every company in every field is looking for someone to speak English, right? So it's just natural progression to just come here.
What I want to know is like the things you learn in voice acting school, do they specifically teach you how to sound like an anime character? Because I've noticed, obviously, as it's common sense, that you know, anime characters sound very different from how people usually speak.
Right, yeah.
So what goes into like learning how to speak like that?
This also depends on like which kind of teacher you have, but some teachers are based like on like acting. So they're more like, instead of like, you know, sounding like an anime character, like they want you to focus on your acting skills. But some like teachers actually do like tell you like you need to be more like over the top. You know, because like anime characters, they're like over the top.
So you've been in school for 2 years. How does it then transition into being like, you're a professional now, start working? Like, what is it like a set end date at the school, or is it like they're like, you're ready now, kid? Go on, start acting.
Act.
For my school, there was like a set date that you finish school, and before you finish school, you'll have like auditions to get into the agency.
That's very Japanese. Because I feel like in the West, they're just like, all right, you're done. Fuck off. Good luck. Make it work, kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, there'll be like, you know, staff there like looking at you, and usually you'll be handed like a script like 15 minutes before you actually act in front of the people. Okay. And so,
What is the point of that? Because it's like, that doesn't happen on a regular job, right? Like you don't show up to the studio not knowing what anime you're going to be in and being like, here's the script, you're recording in 10 minutes.
It's really common, at least in English, that you wouldn't see the script until you're actually recording it though.
Yeah, but in Japan, it's way before.
I mean, like for like narration or like sometimes there's like times when they give it to you on that day.
Right.
But like in regards to like anime and games, it's more like, you know, you get like several days in advance.
Yeah, because the pre-planning stage for anime and games here is insanely long.
I think because there's sometimes in English that's still changing the lines while you're getting so they might change them. Mm-hmm. Or like maybe, you know, they'll change it while you're doing the lines.
I've had that happen before.
Right, right. The guy's like, I don't like this anymore. I want to change it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, because when I did the stuff for Pop Team Epic, they gave me the script like 4 weeks before I actually went in.
Yeah.
So no NDA either, right?
Huh?
No NDA either.
No NDA. I talked about this on the podcast, but they literally gave me a CD of the episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did they do that for you? Yeah.
Is that just like a common thing?
Yeah, it's like a like anime recordings, right?
Yeah.
You get that's like crazy. A CD beforehand and you check that at home and then you see how long you're like,
and then you kind of like check out the timing of like when to start. And
you don't have to like sign anything saying I won't share this to anyone?
No.
What? Yeah. That's insane. Yeah. Dude, the trust system here, dude.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This video is sponsored by Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll just kicked off a new slate of anime for the summer season. Not only will the service host continuing classics like Boruto, My Hero Academia, and One Piece, but this season is stacked with the return of popular series like Mystical Masters, Dragon Maid S, Tokyo Revengers, To Your Eternity, and That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime.
Ooh. And don't forget, you can binge watch all the episodes of the incredible Odd Taxi right now. I've already talked about it many times, but if you're looking for another show, I highly recommend the second season of That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. Season 2 is popping off and you need to watch it right now.
Way to plug your own video.
But guys, shut up. Did you know there's new titles airing this season?
No way.
You won't believe it. Some of the top picks include Peach Boy Riverside. What? Airing. The Great Jahi Will Not Be Defeated.
I love that one.
And Fina Pirate Princess. And the new trailer just dropped.
You can watch all these titles for free or try a 14-day free trial of premium membership to skip all the ads and access simulcasting with Japan. Just follow the link in the description to start watching Crunchyroll now.
And the guest that we have on today voices in some of the titles that you can find on Crunchyroll.
Just follow the link in the description below to start watching on Crunchyroll. Back to the episode.
So how did you feel getting your first role? How was that feeling when you were just like, man, I'm actually like achieving my dream right now?
Well, we had an audition to get that role. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it was like an English speaking character. And like the audition was like, you had to speak in English.
Right.
Like just anything in English.
Right.
And so, there was like other people that were like auditioning as well. Mm. And I was like, I'm the one that's like, that can talk English.
Excuse me, are you Eigo Jozu? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, so I was like, well, if I don't get this role, I'm going to like, maybe this is not like for me.
You're like a clear image right there.
But then, you just turned up and you're like, oh, I've got this. I've got
this. But then, like when I heard that I got the role, I was like super happy because obviously not many people who are still in school get a job. And you know, a lot of people even after they like graduate, they don't get, you know, jobs, right?
Yeah.
So I
just
was like
normal university.
Yeah. And so like, yeah, I was like, I was super happy because I like, you know, because my first job was Concorde, like Kantai Collection Concorde, right. And that was like a huge game as well. So yeah, I was just like, my first job is Concorde, like like, oh my God, like, really? Like, you know?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, did your like parents find out about it too? Like, did you tell them or?
I told them, but they're not really like into anime and stuff. So they're like, oh really? That's nice.
My parents are like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, enjoy it while
yeah, yeah.
Wait, so how do your parents feel about what you do now then?
Now they're like more accepting and they're kind of like, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because they're like, starting to see
yeah.
like
yeah.
results.
Right? Yeah,
when you
yeah.
get a stable income, parents are always like, all right. Maybe this isn't too bad.
Yeah. That's literally what it was like for my parents as well. Cause they were like, really? When I was still doing it at home during uni, the whole YouTube thing, they were like, have fun with that while it lasts. You know, it's like, that's a good paying hobby you got there. And then when my dad was like, you make more than I do per month. That's when he was finally like, I'll allow it. Yeah. Like, cool, thanks dad.
Like, do your parents know kind of what you do now? Do they understand at least what you do?
Yeah, like my sister, she kind of shows like what I do to my parents.
Right.
So like, they kind of now know what
I That's do. Good. That's
like
good.
That. Do they do that thing where like, wait, this is you?
Yeah.
My parents, like, they don't believe it. They're like,
yeah.
You don't sound like that. You've never heard that voice before.
Yeah. Like, I remember when I first like tried to explain my job to my parents. I'm like, how would you make money off this? I don't understand this YouTube thing. And then like cut to like 3 years later, my dad like phones me up and being like, I was checking your Social Blade and your last video seems to be underperforming there. Like, what's going on with that?
It's a transition from not knowing anything and not caring to know anything to suddenly be like an analyst, right?
Like, I'm like, you gained 100 less subscribers than on average for this day. What's going on? Are you paying enough attention?
That's like still cute though, because like my parents are definitely not that. Like, I think my parents are kind of, they went from not knowing or caring to kind of being like caring, but still not really knowing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when I asked my dad like what he thinks about what I do for a job, he was just like, I don't support it. I just let you do it.
I mean, for like YouTubers, I guess it's really hard to explain to your parents like what kind of job it is.
True. Yeah.
I guess for a voice actor, you can just say, I'm an actor.
You can just show them a clip and be like, that me. That me. I did that. That me. I did that.
I wish I just reviewed food so I could explain it easy to people. You'd be like, yeah, I just eat. That's it. But I'm like, wow, I don't really know.
I literally have to, my grandma to this day still thinks I'm a comedian. Because that's the only way I can explain it to my grandma. It's like, your grandson is a comedian. That's just not on TV. And she's like, oh, wow, okay. Very good. Sweet.
I got to ask, going back to like the Saturday school thing and the small community, I got to ask, did all your parents know each other as well? Is that an Asian thing or?
I mean, I think a lot of the parents did know each other, but I think that was only really like if you kind of grew up with that kid from a really, really young age.
Right.
Because like we had a lot of like childhood friends.
Right.
Yeah.
That I would grow up with that eventually, you know, would like do the same sports activities or do the same, you know, or go to the same Saturday school,
yeah.
or
just
go to the same primary or high school or whatever. But like, I didn't really know her sister or her or Shu all that much to the point where our parents knew each other. Like we had mutual like parent friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think it ever got to that level.
Yeah, because I just asked because I obviously didn't go to Sunday school, but this is how-
It's Saturday school.
Sorry,
first of all.
Saturday school. I'm sorry.
We don't pray.
Okay? We don't pray.
It's the week, it's weekend school. I'm just going to call it weekend school.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Yeah, let me tell you how socializing worked in like the Thai community when I was growing up, since we didn't have weekend school.
Right.
So like, Every Thai parent would for some reason know each other within like a fucking 50-mile radius and they'd hang out and they were like, your kid, you're like within the same age, socialize and now make friends, right?
Yeah.
And that was basically how I knew all the kids in like my area. Yeah. And is it the same in Japan as well where you refer to each other as like kind of like brother or sister or like cousins?
I feel like that's very much a Southeast Asian
thing. Okay. Yeah. So it was really confusing explaining this to Sydney, because I would introduce Sydney to like a family friend,
yeah.
But I would introduce them as a cousin,
and I would introduce
my actual cousins as cousins. So right. Southeast Asian like family trees are just a fucking mess, because we call everyone brother, sister, or cousins.
Everyone's related.
Everyone's family.
Any of these discussions, this is not me.
Wait, so like when you like refer to your cousins, right?
Yeah.
Do you say like the cousin? That's not related.
No, there's no distinction. We just call them cousin. And then Sydney's just like, so whenever I introduce a new cousin, so she's just like, is this a cousin or just a cousin? I'm just like, it's a real cousin. But they're all real cousins. It's
like the white people equivalent of calling everyone your uncle or aunt, right?
I guess so.
They're like, this is your uncle. Mm. And I found out they weren't my uncle. And I was like, what? Why did you lie?
I mean, yeah, like my Australian side definitely had that, where like my dad's friends would be my uncles, or like, you know, but I don't think Japanese don't really do that.
Yeah.
I feel because like in Japan, especially like the concept of family is very much like closed off in a lot of sense, where it's like you really have to be like part of the family in order to be considered a family member.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like an Italian like, hey brother, like, it's not anything like that, right? Or like the whole cousin thing.
Yeah.
Cause like
I just can't get over it. I mean, I think you just held up a sign that just said incest.
Oh, is that where God's obsession for
you? No, for fuck's sake. No.
Anyway, no, but like, no.
Off guard by that. Who just holds up a sign and says incest? What? Guys, it's the incest cue. Yeah. What is that?
We got a guest on today.
Jesus.
Sorry about this show.
The show is definitely a great show.
You're tainting an innocent mind over here. No, but I don't think the Japanese side really had that. Like, it's a childhood friend, and that's like the extent. But I feel like, definitely, like, you know, it's not like we couldn't make friends later on in life, but I feel like a lot of the friends you did make, especially in Sydney with the Japanese community, a lot of it was very heavily rooted in like how long have you known this person for, you know, kind of thing.
Is that why there are so many childhood friend characters in anime?
Yeah.
I just got to ask that.
I pulled through in real life.
I was the one thinking about it.
I mean, like, you know, like if you're friends since like four, when you're like 4 years of age, you're like, you stay friends for like forever.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, I did get that about like Japanese culture. It's like, I got the impression that, you know, there's like different levels of friendship within Japanese culture, and it's very hard to like penetrate like the deeper level unless you've known them for like a very long time.
Why do you say penetrate?
I don't know, okay?
It's such an odd choice of words.
That was such a hard P. Yeah,
you went in on that. Oh my gosh.
Penetrate.
No wonder they don't let you in.
I don't want anything penetrating. Thank you very much. But definitely like that whole trope of like the Osana Najimi or like
stop laughing, Connor.
What are these choice of words going on today? What's
but that whole like Osana Najimi trope in anime, I feel is very, it's like rooted in reality in a lot of ways because, you know, a lot of my Japanese friends to this day from Australia are guys and girls I've known since I was, you know, like less than 1 year old, right? Mm-hmm.
Less than 1 year old.
No, like dead off.
True.
Like,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Because like, at least with my mom, how I got to know a lot of them was that, because again, like the Japanese community was so small.
Right. Yeah.
The moms would go to like these like mom friend groups where like moms of that had kids of similar ages would come together. And so like naturally you know, at the age of like 6 months to anywhere.
Pops out the vagina. It's like, son, let me introduce you to your best friend. Goes to like the next.
Why are you saying these all these descriptive words today?
No, legit. It pretty much is like that. Like,
sorry.
You could have said pops out. You didn't have to add. What's going on today?
Don't.
Like dead ass, like pop out the vag before I see my own father. It's like, he's your best friend. It's like that. But like my oldest friend, my oldest childhood friend to this day, who's also half Japanese, half Australian, who lives here now, I met before I could even walk. So like, it's crazy to think that I'm 26 now and I've dead ass known him for 26 wow. years of my life.
Yeah. So literally just, say, so you, when you say you've, I've known him my entire life, yeah. you've really
I've
fucking
I've literally
mean
known
it.
Him my entire life. There is 6 months of my life that I didn't know him.
So you feel quite strongly then towards someone, even if you don't speak to them, even if just because you grew up with them?
I feel it's like one of those like concepts of like, you know, it's the type of friends where you're like, I don't have to text you every day to know that I'm your friend, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess to me it's more like, oh, cool, how you doing?
Nice. Yeah. But it's one of those friends where you're like, you know, you don't text for a year or something, but you can casually still be like, so we're going to dinner?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like
yeah,
one of those
yeah.
friends, right?
I think if my friend messaged me and was like, and I haven't spoken to them in like years, and they were like, hey, can I stay at your place for X amount of time? Mm-hmm. If it's like one day, I'm like, I guess. But if I haven't really spoken to them, I'm like, what if they're crazy? What if they've gone through things, you know? Like, what if they just don't leave?
You know? I feel uh-huh. that like you would know about that in some way, right? Especially because like for us, the parents were also involved in this friendship,
that's true,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I know my friends, like my childhood friend's parents just as well as, you know, I know the friend, right? Because it's kind of like, I guess that's the only like whole auntie and uncle or like cousin aspect to it, where it's like your childhood parents, your childhood friend's parents are kind of like your uncle or your aunt in a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
Was that the same for you as well?
That was the same for me, yeah. It's like,
can't relate.
Now that I think about it and talk about it, it's a really weird concept.
It is, yeah.
I'm envious that you can have just friends for just like for free.
Yeah.
For free. It's
no work put in. Just born. Just
no,
talk.
No payroll.
It's almost like an arranged friendship, you know? Like your parents both agree, yes, our children can be friends, right?
So. Honestly, it is pretty much like
the only thing I get from my childhood friends are just fucking Farmville invites on Facebook. They're just driving up the wall. I'm like, fuck off, stop.
Well, because like a lot of, and I feel as well, like how strong of a bond you form with your childhood friend depends on how close you are or like the same types of activities that you did growing up or like, did you also go to that fucking swimming school in Sydney?
I was about to, but.
The one in Killarney?
Yeah.
See, she knows.
What are you guys just going for your childhood?
I was about to, but my parents were like, oh, it's too far away. And so we didn't go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so because there was this one like swimming school that like all the Asians would go to.
Yeah.
And that's how, that's also how like I kind of rekindled with a lot of like my childhood friends that I met when I was a baby.
Yeah.
Because like, it was like, oh, the parent that I met during this like mum circle also takes their kid to the swimming school. And I've been thinking to take my son or daughter to the swimming school. So I'll just go to the same one that I know all the parents at. So that's like, so again, like I feel like that community is so bonded tightly that like, it'd be like, oh, if that parent is doing this thing, I'll send my kids there.
Yeah, you could say your family.
Vin Diesel.
Cue Fast and Furious.
Cue Vin Diesel. Dead by the time this comes out.
By the time this comes out, it'll probably be like very outdated.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm curious. So you mentioned that you are very passionate about it from a young age. But obviously when you're not in school before that, there's only so many ways you can, I guess, practice or get experience. And what did you do before that to kind of get practice? Because I was just doing it from my bedroom. Just online, with a shitty microphone.
Same.
Really?
I was like, yeah. So like I bought like a really bad shitty microphone.
Yeah, me too.
And then, you know, at home I'll be recording my own voice and like hearing it again and then recording it again. And, you know, cause like now like voice acting, you have to be able to like sing well as well.
What?
Like, you have to-
I'm fucked.
Yeah, like you have to like dance as well, right? So like-
Voice actresses especially.
Dance? Yeah,
voice actors and actresses at this day and age are basically idols.
Wow, it's like totally different in like the West.
Yeah. Like, you know, you have to like you're in magazines, like you have to look good, like, you know, like visually.
Well, I guess that's why, like, again, it's so, the competition is so intense.
Yeah.
Right? Like you said, they're more idols, but they're always on TV, right?
You get that. And so, like, you know, in Australia, they don't have much karaoke's.
No.
Like, yeah. And so-
There was one really like crappy karaoke. But it was the closest thing we got to like the Japanese style because like, karaoke in Australia is a lot like in America where it's like all open mic.
And I'm like,
that's not karaoke.
That's always been weird to me.
That's not karaoke, that's public embarrassment.
I love that. I hate it. Night when someone just god awful starts, because I'm like, that guy's great. That guy went up there knowing he'd butcher the song, but he didn't.
No, but like, what if the opposite happens, right? What if like the person before you sings like fucking amazingly and then you're like, oh shit, I have to go up and do sexy back.
Let me go. I'll do it.
Like, if I'm going to embarrass myself, I just, at least I could just embarrass myself in front of my friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way I think about it. Yeah. That's why, like, the concept of going to karaoke sober is just non-existent in Western countries, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to go out up and sing on stage in front of strangers if you're not intoxicated, unless you're just an amazing singer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
we do that here too.
Yeah.
You had to learn how to sing as well, or you already sang?
Well, I practiced singing from my bedroom.
Yeah,
that was really
as everyone does.
That was really embarrassing because my parents were against me doing voice acting. Right?
Yeah. So, stop singing. Yeah.
They'll be kind of like, oh yeah, you can go sing in your room, but obviously because it's not like soundproof or anything. Yeah. It's like I'm like my really bad singing is like like resonating throughout the whole like house. So
you're practicing dancing as well when you were like teenager.
No, like I didn't really practice dancing because I was more into like singing and acting.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah.
Not much of a dancer myself either.
Yeah. It's really hard.
That is true.
Yeah, so with the voice acting school, did they teach you any of these other aspects of being a voice actress, or was it just purely the voice part?
The school that I went to was like just purely voice acting.
Right.
But I know like some schools teach you singing and dancing as well. Like, you know how like I said that there was like schools where you have to go like 5 times a week?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, those-
So 5 times a week, like 8 hours a day or like-
I'm not really sure, but-
I assume not, like you have to live somewhere.
I think when I watched a video about it, it sounded like they just go in the evening after their job. Like a lot of people do that in Japan. Yeah. I think that's normal.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, there's like a lot of different like, you know, it always depends on the school, you know.
Mm.
But so some schools teach you that.
So what type of voice acting were you doing in your bedroom when you were like 15, 16?
Well, I was kind of like copying characters.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, like-
I feel it always starts with like impersonation.
Yeah.
Fan dubs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, who did you impersonate?
I impersonated a lot. let me just think.
Who did you impersonate? Other than the obvious ones.
League of Legend characters.
Yeah.
Do you know how I know that? Because that's what he sent in for my audition reel.
There you go.
A League of Legends characters audition reel.
I got the job. I did that.
He did.
No, I don't know. I just copied everything. And I would do weird stuff for people who wanted, because someone has to voice act in these terrible stuff online.
Yeah.
Like Sims projects and stuff. People just make Sims animations.
Oh, Sims.
With Sims. Yeah. And I would have to do the voice. And I hated it. But I was like, well, I want to voice act, but I don't like the project.
$50 is $50, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to get paid? Are you kidding me? No one got paid. I was using a headset microphone. And it sounded like... It's terrible, but you know you love doing it, so you just keep doing it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Until you can buy a good microphone, and even then you're like, Google, how do I remove static? Loud static, how to remove?
The Audacity noise cancelling function.
Yeah, it's terrible. It doesn't work at all.
Yeah, because like back when I was like newly into the anime community, there was a big like online voice acting community when I was first got into the anime community. Mm-hmm. Was that still a thing when you were trying to be a voice actress?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
So does Japan not have like an online scene for voice acting where they just voice act in stuff online?
I think I think some people do like voice act online, and some people actually like voice act on Nico Nico.
Yeah.
And but I didn't really participate in that because I was kind of like, when I was in Australia, my Japanese wasn't as fluent.
Right.
Like it sounded like an Australian was talking.
I get that.
Yeah. And so I was like, ooh, like, you know, I don't have much confidence. So right. I kind of practiced more from home.
Okay.
I was copying Hanekawa from Bakemonogatari.
Nice.
And like, you know, all this kind of practice. Practicing animals too. Like
animals? So you tried to get the animal roles as well.
I mean,
imagine practicing animals, you're shouting at a dog.
Because on the internet, they're like, you know, it's important as like a Japanese voice actor to be able to, you know, voice
do you have to audition for animal roles?
For me, it was kind of like, I already had it in my voice reel. And so,
you're the go-to.
And so, they picked me from there. But
what kind of animals? Like just dogs, cats?
Like dogs, cats, yeah.
I guess that's the majority, right?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm so curious. What was your process in like practicing for that?
I'll just like endlessly watch animals on YouTube, and then I'll kind of like copy the animal.
There's people who have demo reels for like monster creature demo reels. Monster noises and like weird sounds that human bodies shouldn't make.
I guess someone's gonna voice them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's quite a bit of demand for that. Like there's always shit that needs growling.
Can you do some animal voices right now? Right.
A dog?
Yeah. It's very loud.
Sorry.
No. I shouldn't expect it. It was great. Oh my God.
I can do a cat as well.
Okay, do it. That's a cat.
That's pretty good. That's really good.
Well, if we said it was shit. Yeah. Nah, it doesn't sound like a cat.
We'll just send you a passive aggressive letter later. it wasn't very good.
You'll receive a letter in your post. Yeah.
I wonder if there's like any viewers watching right now who has a cat in the background who just like.
Yeah, right.
Who's throwing hands?
The dog is just losing it.
That's so cool.
This video is sponsored by Manscaped.
The sun's out, bums are out, and hopefully your pubes are not out. Also, flip-flop season is upon us, and you're out here with those post-pandemic toenails? Don't worry. Our friends at Manscaped have you covered. They just launched their fourth generation performance package and their Shears TM 2.0 nail grooming kit. Join the Manscaped movement by going to manscaped.com/trashtaste for 20% off plus free shipping.
I was this close, gentlemen, to making my balls no more, but that could have been avoided if I had Manscaped that one time when I was younger. But thank God I can buy it now.
The Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer will change the way you approach your grooming routine.
Texas, don't worry. If that power goes out again, you can still use the Lawnmower 4.0 because it's powered by batteries and has its own LED.
One of the most important aspects is that this trimmer is waterproof, so you can trim in the shower with ease.
I'm going to say that again.
That so dramatic. So get 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/trash taste. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/trash taste. Tame the summer swamp in your pants with Manscaped TM.
Back to the episode.
Your balls will thank you.
So I'm assuming it's going to be different, but what is the process like in voice acting in Japan for auditioning?
For auditions, the auditions come to your agency and then the agency will pick someone that's suitable for the role, and they'll be like, there's like two stages. There's like tape audition and there's a studio audition. Tape audition is where you just send your voice in to the people who make the anime, and stage audition is when you actually go in front of all the directors and like the people who make the anime, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
So how many people will be there normally?
Depends on like the anime, but I don't know. Like sometimes there's like only like 5, 10, 20.
Only 20? What?
Sometimes there's like more. There's like,
Wait, and this is the staff, right?
Yeah.
20 staff members.
Oh, no. Oh, you mean staff members?
Sorry. I was going to say.
Staff members, it depends, but sometimes it's like
the artist is standing there. She's got a good voice.
But, it's not going to match the grass.
But sometimes, like, there's like around, usually there's around 5 people, but sometimes there could be like 10 or like maybe even more.
Wow. Like judging and like. And then there's about 20 to 30 auditioning.
Yeah.
Is that for one character or?
Yeah, sometimes for one character. Like sometimes the anime, like people, they'll take like a whole day auditioning like several characters. And like this was like pre-COVID.
So.
But yeah, they'll be like, you know, there'll always be like people waiting in the waiting room. Mm-hmm. And then,
oh God, you're all like, oh yeah, you go for the part.
Yeah.
And before you walk in, just
And it's like because they're holding the scripts, right? And they're kind of like practicing it in their mind.
Is there like big tension in the room?
Yeah, there is. Oh. Yeah. It's like super quiet.
Oh, that's so nerve wracking. Yeah.
And you see someone holding the same script as you are, and you're like. Yeah.
You know, because like, there's like people in movies like I'm gonna like people who turn up really cocky. Is anyone ever like that? Who's like, I've got this. Go home.
No, because, you know, like even like the really like famous voice actors, they audition to get like the same, like the roles as well.
Right. So you might turn up and they might be like a triple A, like, oh my God, that's terrifying.
But the good thing about this job is that it's not always them that get the job, right? It's like the person who suits the voice, like the character best. So yeah, it is really nerve wracking though when they're like in front of you and they're like practicing their script and you're like—
Oh wait, so you've been in a situation where you're in like auditioning for the same roles
and it's like it's so nerve-wracking just to like act in front of like all the staff members making the anime, and then there's like this huge, like, you know, someone you've known like since like ages ago, and someone
probably a fan of
like who've like you've had like posters of them up on your room or something like that, right?
Yeah,
so yeah, it's like really nerve-wracking. And
that's like so different from how they do it in like the English anime, because because they, when they're dubbed, they have to be dubbed like pretty fast,
right?
So they can't, like, they never hold open auditions. It's been it's been a very, very long time. I think they'll be like, hey, we know that you're good at what you do. Try for this character. And you just record an audio clip and send it in, and that's it. Like, there's no like another one. Sometimes there is, but it really depends on the thing. But it's really fast. And that's why there's normally like less actors, I guess, compared to Japan. Because it's normally you have to be kind of established to get a chance. It's kind of difficult.
Yeah. Wow. How many auditions do you have to go through, or like for different series, before you normally land like a single role?
Well, in the industry, they say like auditions, like it's like it's like normal to like not pass an audition. Yeah. So like they say like if you like take 50 auditions, if you get into one, then that's like you're still on the good side. Like you're still on the lucky side.
Like,
you know,
40 to 1.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose so if you're like competing against 20 other voice actresses,
You know, some people just spend all day from their home just on like voices.com sending in like fucking hundreds all day. Right. It drives me insane.
And yeah, it's really like, cause like, you know, when you get the audition, you want to know more about the character and you want to know more about the manga or like, you know, whatever it's based on. So like you read all these manga and like, you know, you take your time, like, you know, understanding the character and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's like, you know, when you don't pass, it's like, oh, I didn't like pass.
Yes, but like, sometimes I try not to get too invested.
Yeah.
Because I feel that if I read the manga and I feel like, I know this character, I can do it. Why didn't I get it? And then you got to go to the next one. It's like, it must be quite difficult. How do you kind of keep that detachment level there?
Well, at first I was like, I felt really like down when I didn't pass. And
of course.
But then now it's kind of like, you know, you need to take, like, you just keep like dropping, like, you know,
it's
not
like understandable
passing. Yeah.
You just gotta, like, you grow thick skin, I suppose.
Yeah.
And just like, it's nothing personal, right?
Yeah.
Nothing personal, kid.
So you mentioned obviously that's not the normal process right now because of COVID. How is it different now because of COVID?
They used to, you know how I said that they used to like call in people for studio auditions. Yeah. Now it's more like you know, you have the tape auditions and you get chosen from there, or they choose someone. They're like, they don't have auditions at all, and it's kind of like they already choose someone to.
Oh, it's like, we want you to voice this character. Yeah, will you take it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, do you have to send in the tape still?
It depends on the.
So they're just scouting now then.
Yeah, sometimes they just scout you. Sometimes you have auditions, and when they do have studio auditions, it's more like you're brought in one by one.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know.
So there's no like there's no standoff
anymore.
There's
no
I feel that's better for like mental health of voice actors.
Yeah. Probably.
But that normally doesn't give a lot of chance for, I guess, new talent to seen, because that's how they get seen, right? If you have to be established or scouted, it's quite difficult to get seen.
Yeah.
Like how does that work for like the English side of things? Because like it sounds fucking impossible for like new talents to get noticed.
I mean, you have normally have to be recommended. Like someone will be like, you know,
it's just who you know, kind of thing.
I mean, it's sad, but yeah, kind of. I mean, you know, there is ways, but normally it is through recommendations, and someone will be like, "Hey, I need this kind of voice. Does anyone know someone who can do this?" So, like, I got recommended to stuff just because they were like, "We need British," and because obviously since COVID, a lot of anime dubs now, the ones that are airing like weeks after, are done all online.
Oh, wow, homes. Really?
Yeah. There's a few actually have been done just from home studios.
So they just record at home?
At home.
Wow.
But you have to have like a good internet connection, and you have to have a sound treated room.
Right.
Mm. Which I think when COVID hit, a lot of the bigger and more established voice actors, just you can order those, like, they have them in Japan as well. Mm-hmm. The home office booths.
Oh, one of those things. The small, like,
it's like a tiny, it's horrible to, because you get so hot and you can't have the AC on, obviously. You're in this tiny room and you're like sweating on a call. And you sometimes if you're screaming, it's like terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of it now, especially now, it's quite bad for like discoverability. Mm. You kind of have to, recommendations.
Yeah.
You can audition from stuff still, but again, to get the auditions, you have to be recommended.
Yeah, it's about who you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's tough. Oh.
So in Japan, to even be considered for an audition, do you have to have formal training or they won't allow you?
No, not necessarily. It's like most of the time you have to be in an agency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like just like to get into the agency, they like, you know, obviously they look at people who have like good acting skills, right? So people in an agency would like have like the, you know, the basic acting skills.
The agent won't sign you, right? I guess we can get you work.
Yeah. And then so, like the manager picks like who they want to
manage.
Because the manager picks like who they want to put forward for the auditions. They'll be like, hey, we need these voices. Oh, okay, I think these guys are good. Take them.
So like, what's the daily life of like a Japanese voice actress? And like, do you do more roles than auditions? Or like, how's the balance go?
It's like you do auditions too, but like once you start getting the hang of your job, it's kind of like you have like recordings for like games and other stuff that you did from like a while ago, so like continuous recordings and stuff like that. And so it's like you do auditions, but at the same time you have like continuous recordings.
So once you establish yourself, it's a lot easier because you got a lot more stuff going on then.
How was it like, because I've done the whole, it's called afureko in Japanese, but like the recording session. I guess there's like one massive difference between the West and Japan is that in the West, it's, you know, one at a time. Whereas in Japan, it's all together, all at once, right?
Yeah, and it's like
you've probably done it next to some pretty notable people.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's pretty crazy. That? Like, well, it's really nerve-wracking because, like, you know, like now they record it a little bit differently, but before they used to have like 30 people, or 20 to 30 people in like a room in a studio, and you'll be kind of recording the anime at the same time.
God.
And so there'll usually be like four microphones and, you know, all the actors will be like using that microphone like between each other.
Yeah.
And so obviously, if like someone who's bigger than you, like your senpai is using like a mic, you can't like barge in and like, you know, use that mic. So, so like, you know, you have to like look out for your senpais as well, and you have to like act properly as well, and you know,
that sounds so stressful. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I just want to work, you know.
But it's so cool when like a bunch of like super established voice actors are doing it, because like I think this is like really famous YouTube video of like all the main voice actors for One Piece
doing
a scene where all of the Straw Hat crew is like talking in a scene, and they're just so fluidly like switching between microphones when like roles come up and stuff. Because like what I did as well is that like just because you're not on the microphone, it doesn't mean you're not acting, because a lot of the times people who aren't on the microphone are used for like crowd noises or like just passers-by and stuff like that. And it's like, so you're constantly just like being recorded.
It's good to have that energy, right, as well, when you're trying to act, to have like someone kind of providing the feel of the scene to you, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's why Konosuba especially worked really well, because you hear like, you hear the original like Japanese dub of it, and it kind of like, you can tell that the actresses and actors are just bouncing off each other really naturally.
Right.
And it's like hard to tell. It's actually some points where it's hard to tell if it's actually scripted or just like completely improvised sometimes.
Yeah.
They used to do a lot more for English productions, but you know, scheduling is a nightmare.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And
for stuff like, you know, like a Disney movie, if you have like all these AAA actors, it's impossible to get them all at the same room at the same time. But some movies and some shows still do it. But it used to be a lot more common, but now it's not that much.
Yeah, because I've seen like footage of COVID, like Toy Story and stuff like that. Like all the actors for Toy Story were all in the same room, like kind of in a semicircle, and they all just had like a mic and like a stand for their script and stuff. Okay. And they would just all do it all at once.
It's normally the more expensive the production, the more you can do that.
That makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, if you have more money, you can tell, hey, come in. Oh, you know, for movies, they'll always do a table read, right? The actors will come in, they'll just practice it together, even if they're not recording together.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
The scary thing is, because, like, you know, once the anime recording starts, it's like you have to, like, stay silent, even when it's not, like, your turn to speak. So, yeah, like, yeah. Even when you're reading the script, and you know it's not your turn, and you want to like turn the page over, you have to be really careful not to make any sound. And like, and like when you walk up to the microphone, you can't make any sound. So like, you know, even with your clothing, it has to be something that doesn't make sound. Yeah. So like, you know, you can't be wearing like leather jackets and like, you know, like that.
Could you imagine just like, hello?
Yeah. Yeah. They used to have like a box just full of like really old t-shirts at really? One of the studios I worked at, and they were just like, if you wore anything that wasn't a t-shirt, they were like, put the t-shirt on.
Wow. Right.
That doesn't sound sanitary.
Well, it was, you know,
just wearing someone's sweaty t-shirt, right?
They washed them. Right. But it was just like, they were like, don't bring anything that isn't a t-shirt because it makes too much noise.
Yeah.
And like, don't have keys in your pocket or anything like that. Like, just empty your pockets.
Because I hate to be that guy who just like came on and was like, shit, I need to sneeze right now.
And I feel that like the pressure is even greater because it's like, if you fuck up a line, for instance, then all the actors are there to kind of
So what happens if someone flubs their line that happens?
Because we're recording like, you know, like I think we record like each 15 minutes of an anime, if that makes sense. So like if you like mess up your line, you just stay silent and just back away. And then,
have you ever done that?
Yeah. it's like
I could see like the PTSD in her face as she was like telling the story. I was like, oh, she's experienced this.
And it's like, if you mess up, you can't say like oops or anything like that. You just have to like stay silent so the person after you can say their lines. And so like once
so they can just like cut your part.
Yeah,
right?
And then they can take it again after the whole 15 minutes is like recorded, right? And it's really hard because when you first start voice acting, right, the director tells you like, you know, we want that line said more like this way or like, you know, in a different way to what you did. And if you're not like able to like, you know, say it like how the director wants you to say it, you like take it again and again, but you're taking it again and again right in front of all your senpais. So like you're taking their time and, you know, the director's like, we want it more like this way. And you're like, okay, I'll try my best. And so, yeah, it's really
that's so
like,
nerve-wracking. Like, that's like pressure on top of pressure, right? Like you're already pressured to be like, I'm going to nail my line just so I can put on a good performance.
It's like the teacher going, all right, what's the answer? Or you specifically. Yeah. What is the answer to this math question? You don't know it? Come on, you can do it. Come on.
We'll all wait. Right?
Yeah. Have you ever had like the director explain how they want you to do the line differently, and you're like, "What? That does not make any sense."
When I was first like in an anime, one of the directors told me, like in Japanese, they said "もうちょっと チャンバラみたいに," and I was like. Because I was
what does that mean?
Chambara is like soft, like sword fighting.
Yeah.
Okay.
With so basically like play sword fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, more play sword fighting. Yeah, yeah.
That's so specific.
Yeah, and I was like, and at that time I was like, I didn't know the word chambara.
Got you, Chief.
Yeah, but then it would be so awkward to ask the director, what does chambara mean, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll try my best. And so I asked the person next to me, who was around the same age as me, what's chambara? And yeah, she told me and I was
and
like,
it still didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah.
What does that mean? Like, how did you find out
what he wanted?
I'm not sure.
To this day, I've wondered what the take should have been.
But I got an okay, so I guess I was able to, you know.
Was that an okay or was that like, okay?
Right?
It could be either one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a, when you're doing lines, sometimes there's that feeling of like, you're not getting it, and then you know personally you're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just like, we'll just move on. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah, I get that feeling, yeah.
Have you ever like said like a line and that you've just been like, that was an awful take, and the director's been like, all right, we're moving on now. That was a good take.
Yeah, yeah, I've had that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why you should say like, fuck, at the end of my line, if I hated it. But then they would tell you to stop saying fuck because you're ruining the line that they liked. Yeah. You'd be like, da-da-da-da, fuck, because then you couldn't use it.
Are you the type of voice actor that watches the anime that they were in after it like finishes and airs and everything to like look back on to kind of learn from?
Yep.
Because I cannot do that.
Really?
Like I hate hearing myself in voice acting roles because I get kind of secondhand embarrassment from it. Being right, like, because I'm so harsh on myself all the time. So when I hear myself on like a game or an anime, I'm always like, I could have done that line like 10 times better. Why did I have to use that line?
I know how you feel. It's like,
that's good though, right? Like you know that you could improve.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's good, but it's also like when people tell me being like, oh, I heard you in the game, then I'd be like, I don't know how I sound in that. Yeah. So it's like, I can't even like talk about the role that I was in.
Yeah.
Because I just don't know how it turned out, right? There's a lot of like big anime voice actors that are like that as well.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, like hearing your own voice after it's like, because like you record it and it's aired like several months after you record it. So obviously, like several months after you're kind of like, you've like brushed up on your acting a little bit more than, you know, what you had before. Mm. So like hearing it again, it's like, oh, like I didn't say that line properly. And like, you know, I'm really strict on myself as well. So it's kind of like, you know, I look like, but then, you know, like I think it's really important to like kind of look
back.
Yeah.
I think the thing that everyone always says the most when they try and start voice acting is like they hate their own voice and they can't stand it.
Yeah.
That's just something you have to like, I mean, personally, I just think that if you learn to like be able to listen to your voice and not just recoil and disgust,
right,
you can then start breaking it down and being like, okay, I didn't do this that well, right? Like you can start really focusing on
but
what you're
doing. But
isn't
it weird that I'm okay with hearing my own voice in YouTube videos?
It's just different.
Oh,
just
really?
Because you've heard it so many times.
Because when you're acting, you're trying to do something, like you're trying to perform, right?
Yeah.
When you're doing YouTube, it's just you.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm being me. I'm being an
that's
idiot.
True.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
like,
true, yeah.
I mean, like I feel though in a lot of my roles, like, cause I'm not trained or anything like that, right? I just do it cause I like it.
Yeah.
And I'm given the opportunity, but like the Pop Team Epic one, for instance.
Yeah.
I played a New York mayor.
Really?
And, I cannot do a New York accent.
Yeah.
So dead ass, if you watch like the actual episode that aired, it's like the most Aussie sounding fucking New York.
It is.
I'm the mayor of New York.
I just love the idea that you did the take and the director was like, it's perfect.
And you're like, no, please.
Yeah.
I did the first take just thinking like, you know, we're going to kind of get like a gauge of like how not good my New York accent is. And I actually gave up halfway. I tried to do like an American accent, but at that point, especially I was like my New York accent. Oh, my American accent is not that good, where like I can confidently act in that accent. Like I can try and speak it casually, right? But acting in another accent is a completely different set of skills. So I was like, I'm just gonna like subtly turn it off, like just turn the gauge down as the recording goes on. So by the end of it, I was just like, yeah, New York! Just like the most Australian sounding New York.
I remember seeing that and I was just like, I feel like he's about to drop the C-bomb as an Aussie, you know? When's it coming?
No, but it was so funny because like, I thought for sure, you know, I would get some pointers being like, all right, you started off good, but you kind of depleted near the end. Let's do another take or like, let's try that line again or something like that. Mm-hmm. Fully expecting it. The director was like, all right, you're good.
Yeah, but the director didn't speak English, right?
No.
Oh, well,
so he thought I was like perfect New York accent. It's like, yeah, that's what all people from New York sound like.
I can't blame him then. Yeah. He doesn't know. There's no way he'd know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But then in Japan, it's like, you know, when you go to recordings, it's like, when you talk in English, it's like they expect you to speak in an American accent. But, you know, because I'm from Australia too. Right. So it's like, yeah, I try.
You never practice your American accent when you were practicing?
Well, yeah, like I'm practicing now, but it's still really hard to like, I don't know, like pronounce all these
American
words.
English goes everything against Australian.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, like, I can't do American
accents. We have to like contort our faces in ways that we can't. Like just the R sound is so hard.
And
well, like the British and Australian English, like the tongue is like towards the front of the mouth.
Yeah.
And American English, it's like flatter and in the back. Uh-huh. And that's like really hard to do when you're British, because you're like, why do I have to force my tongue down?
You just sound like you're kind of drowning half the time.
Mine sounds shit. Like, I barely can.
I mean, I'm much better at it now since then because I've practiced, but I mean, I still couldn't confidently do like an American English role. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I feel like, I don't know, just from like watching anime recently, where like we are starting to get more like English speaking roles done by actual like native people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like I've noticed, like, I think finally anime directors and producers are like, different accents in English exist.
In Japanese dubs or
In Japanese dubs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But even in the English dubs as well, because like a lot of the English dubs are also overseen by like the original directors and producers. Yeah. So it's like, I feel like they're finally starting to realize like, oh, we can't just get anyone who can speak moderately good English. Yeah. Like, if we need an American role, we need to get an American speaking person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did an American voice for a film, the one that like Charlie Critical is in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like the kill. But I wasn't credited.
You weren't credited?
Yeah, really?
I forgot. I think they forgot. I had to tell. Seriously. Oh, my God. So, I'm like the voice of the like killer.
Yeah.
And it's like this like really raspy, deep, like scary voice.
Like an American accent.
Yeah, and then they were like, we wanted to do. And I remember that I was having the call with the people who were making this film. And they were telling me all about this role. And then this is going on for like half an hour. And they mentioned, he's American. And then at the end of it, I was like, so like the accent, I don't know if you noticed, I'm not American. I was like, so what do you want me to do? And they were like, well, he is American. So could you do American? And I'm like, I can, but it won't be good.
Right.
Yeah.
So I did it.
I feel though your American accent is probably better than most, right? Because I feel, I don't know.
When I do deep voices, it's easier because that the mouth shape is easier, but it's still shit. It's still shit.
But I feel like-
You would laugh at me.
But I feel like a lot of like British actors, for instance, are usually pretty good at nailing the American accent. Right.
Yeah, there are so many British or just like, you know, actors not from America that you don't know aren't from America until it's like outed. But then you swap to the other way around with American Americans doing like British accents,
accents, because like how many people think, you know, like if they watch like Batman, for instance, right? Like Christian Bale and Gary Oldman are both not American. Yeah,
Christian
right?
Bale's Welsh.
Yeah, Christian Bale's Welsh,
right?
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure. And Gary Oldman is very British.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like it's just incredible to think that like a lot of people just don't know that like,
I mean, like Chris Hemsworth as well.
Yeah,
like
Chris Hemsworth
Aussie.
Is an Australian,
like the most
right?
fucking Aussie guy I've ever seen.
But he nails the American accent. Yeah. Right? So it's like,
I think because they teach. They train British actors different to American. It's different ways of learning acting. Mm-hmm. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Because like British are more focused on like stage acting.
Right.
And like learning that
like
aspect
theater
of it.
Training.
More like classically trained. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a bit different. I don't know.
Yeah, and I also feel like if you're going to acting, you kind of need to learn how to do an American accent. That's because that's where most films are made, right?
Yeah.
You know,
that makes
but sense. It's not the same the other way around. So, you know,
true. I hate doing American accents for stuff. You always have to do it for things. It sucks. I hate it. Just let me use my British accent.
Just give me like an Australian character. That's like the
I've never seen an Australian character before.
No, me neither. Like the one time where I was like, oh, I might have a chance is like, what was it? The Free, like, what was it? The movie?
Oh,
like season.
It was based in Sydney.
So I was like, I was waiting for that phone call, being like,
Joey,
is it my time to
my
shine?
My time to shine.
My time to shine the Australian accent? Never happened.
They spoke English in it, right? And it was like terrible.
Yeah, but they hired non-Australian actors and like actresses. So I'm like, missed opportunity.
I'm right here.
Well, it's like me and Shu are right
two people right here.
What is it also?
Just
like?
Hit up that fucking Saturday school.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Like, go through the contact list.
What do you think of the bad English in anime as it's normally referred to?
Well, you know, I know people who've been asked to like talk in English when they're not like, you know, that.
Is the director just like, you should just do it?
Yeah, they're kind of like, they're like, try your best, but. You know, and obviously the actors are trying their best.
I just feel like it's an unfortunate situation. It's just kind of like, oh, I guess they had to, but
yeah.
Yeah. Like a lot of my friends like ask me how to pronounce stuff because they're like, I don't know how like, you know, they pronounce this sentence and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's really hard for them to like, you know, pronounce something that they're not used to pronouncing.
Do they ever worry about how it's perceived by like foreign fans?
Yeah, they do. They're like, you know, I tried my best, but it's like, I don't think it sounds like native. Oh, and then, you know.
Feel bad laughing at the croconut.
Have you seen that?
No,
it's not.
It's, what, the lunchtime rush one?
The Crocodile Basket when they go to America. And
oh, like, oh, yeah, they go to America. I completely forgot.
And everyone's American, but everyone's Japanese. Like, it's a trip.
Well, I mean, it's like the English in like Devilman Crybaby as well, right?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ooh. And I had to do alphabetical next to that guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Murase Ayumu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, I mean,
it's,
like.
I mean, it's not a win. No one wins.
No one wins. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, his English was probably the most decent out of, like, all the other actors. Mm-hmm. But, like, I had the exact same thing, like, during break. Like, all the actors were like, coming up to me being like, how do you pronounce this? Or, like, how do I make this sound as fluent and, like, naturally speaking as possible? And I'm just like, dude, you're asking the wrong person. This is set in New York. I'm not even doing the accent correctly. Like, why are you asking me? Like, I'm struggling to say the letter R.
You'd be like, I'm walking in.
Yeah.
Just say that. That's what everyone says. That's the meme. That's the meme.
Just give them a copy of like every month Scorsese film.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, Jesus.
Have you ever been recognized in Japan for your voice work? Like someone spot on the street is like, oh my God, I know you.
Oh, I haven't had that before, but I've had someone ask me like at a cafe, like when I was checking out, I've had someone ask me if I was a voice actor and-
Or just randomly?
Yeah, just randomly.
Like they could just feel the voice acting aura from you.
Maybe, I don't know. Like, yeah. And so like, it was like a young male guy. Right. And he was like, do you by any chance do voice acting? And I'm like.
Is that like a pickup line in Japan? Bro, that voice got me acting up. Yeah. Oh, are you a voice actor?
Yeah. I'm about to simp at your voice.
My queen, are you a voice actor?
My queen, do you happen to be a voice actor?
Says one word, my queen. I will simp for you.
Did you go to the checkout and say like in a voice acting way, or did you start barking, or were you okay? Like,
oh, maybe did I? Yeah. Maybe I did.
You did like the anime reaction lines, like, eh?
Hontoni?
You can have a point card. Hontoni?
So, like for like everyone watching who maybe aspires to be a voice actor or actress.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what do you think it takes to be one professionally in Japan?
I think it's like, obviously you need like your acting skills, but I think it's more like being able to communicate with the people around you and like, like, you know, like, cause if you have a manager, then you have like, you have to be in good relationships with your manager because they're the ones picking who to, you know, push forward for the audition and something like that. Right. And, you know, you'll have to be like doing good with, you know, the voice actors around you and your senpais and, yeah, I think
it's
that's
all just social
really
politics,
important.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how it always is, though. Like the entertainment industry is always who you know and who you're friends with, right? It's been fortunate. I mean, I feel YouTubing is like that, right?
Yeah.
You're friends with, you know.
Yeah. I feel that's just like, but I feel especially like that on top of how already socially, politically, like, you know, charged, I guess, Japan is just in general.
Yeah,
you have, you know, tatemae and like all that kind of stuff on
it's
top
so
of
hard.
Like an entertainment industry.
Yeah, like I'm always like, you know, because like, you know, even with like towards your senpai, right? You have, you want to be like, if you want to become good friends with like that person, like, you know, like it's just so hard to decide how like polite you have to be towards them.
Right. Because you don't want to seem like a kiss off.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's that fine
line. Just rolling a dice.
It's like,
No,
I was about to say, it's like, it's that real fine line between, you know, showing that you respect your senpai.
Yeah.
But also not kissing their butt.
Yeah. And obviously because like, you know, in Japanese, if you're too polite, it's like, you know.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. So that's really hard. Like,
you know. Was that something you just had to learn on the job, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, it was really hard.
Because I guess like moving from Australia to here, like the social dynamics is just so different from like from moving to Australia and like a more like, I'd say like Western kind of mentality to Japan, which is like very, very, you know, very, very different, very, very, I don't know what the word I'm looking for here is.
It's like, you know, if Japan is kind of like a pyramid scheme, Australia... Australia is just like...
Do you mean just a pyramid? You just did a pyramid scheme. Needs to be involved?
if the social... Okay, let me rephrase it.
It's the social multi-level marketing that we're selling here.
It's the, if Japan socially is like a pyramid.
Hierarchy, that's...
Like a hierarchy, yeah. Right?
That's the word we were looking for.
Pyramid. If it's a pyramid, then Australia is just... Everyone's kind of on the flat surface.
Yeah.
Where it's like you refer to your boss by your name. Whereas like if you did that in Japan, instantly fired. Like,
yeah.
You know? Really?
Yeah.
Or would it be a power move? No. Just like, damn, this guy's good. Get him a role.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
I'd love to think that like, even like the top seiyus, can they just be like, what's up to the director?
Like some people are like.
Like they're like know. The legends. They're like,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
what's up?
Yeah.
I feel though that takes like ages, right?
Yeah.
Because there seems to be so much, I mean like voice actors here, like the very, very like famous ones are seen as like, almost like gods.
Mm. Japan, they're like the top celebrities, right?
Right. I wonder if that, like, you know, in the work environment, it kind of means they could just rock up and be like, yo, I own this place. This is mine.
I'm sure some of them, you know, like with that much, you know, like fame and power, like I'm sure some people would get cocky a little bit.
Because one thing I noticed, I was looking on Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. And the voice actor for Giorno in, has like 1.2 million followers on Twitter. Mm. And I'm like, holy shit. That's all, like, and it's he's Japanese.
Yeah.
So like the market is only really Japan and I guess people who like JoJo, but like that's that is a lot of followers. Yeah.
Like 1 million in Japan is the equivalent of like 10 million.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. And that, like that just blew my mind. I was like, how many?
Yeah. Like all of the, I feel like most of the top voice actors in Japan have like that kind
a
of
lot,
level.
Yeah.
Does you know, being popular on social media or being popular on TV, does that help you get a lot of roles in Japan? Is that like a factor?
Yes, it helps.
A lot.
Like, yeah, because, you know, like if you have more followers and like you can, you know, what is it like? Not really advertise more, but it's like, you know, people know you. So it's like, you know, like.
So they're more inclined to like watch the anime.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So is there like a lot of voice actors in Japan that like, hey guys, getting into TikTok now. is that a thing at all?
Yeah, there are some voice actors who do TikTok. Yeah. And like, you know, a lot more voice actors now are doing like YouTube as well.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. So.
That's kind of the same in English. Like a lot of the voice, because you kind of have to have a social media presence, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like the voice actor who did Gintoki. Like he's huge on Twitter. Like he's like he memes the fuck out of himself on Twitter all the time. He's like a lot of people, like especially in the West, just know him for that.
That's great. Everyone loves it when someone memes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One thing I'm sure that the audience is slightly curious about, and you know, people who watch anime, they want to be a voice actor in Japan. That's a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen someone who wasn't native in Japanese, like make it as a voice actor? Is that like a thing? Because I've heard often of people who have tried, but I haven't heard anyone who's managed to do it who like wasn't native or born in Japan. Because I've heard that, again, they are so strict on all the pronunciation and the way that you talk that you do have to be native.
Oh, I personally haven't seen anyone.
Right, Rip Weeb sound.
I feel just like bilingual voice actors is just not a market that has been filled yet.
Yeah.
Like, I can't really think of like a notable voice actor in Japan or in the West that can do a role like that is not in their native language.
It's really hard because, you know, like for like voice acting, especially in Japan, like you have to be able to act like and speak in Japanese really fluently, but you also have to have that like Japanese, you know, bowing and keigo you know, social skills as well. So I think because when I first came to Japan, I was really like shocked by all the stuff that you have to do. And so I think, there's so many stuff you need to do other than, you know, being able to act in Japanese. And now you have to like dance and sing and all these other stuff that you need to do. So it's like,
I mean, and you've already said that you started off like very young pursuing this dream as well. Mm-hmm. So you're like really determined from a young age. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess it takes a lot of work, doesn't it?
Rise and grind.
And like, there is like, it's a pretty harsh world. So it's like, you know, you have to get used to people saying harsh stuff to you, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Oh, don't worry. We've been there.
Yeah. We've talked about this a lot. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And obviously because, you know, there's people on the internet as well, but there's, you know, the people around you, like, you know, you know, saying like this, you need to work on this, you need to work on that, and this part of like your acting or this part of you you need to fix and stuff like that. Mm. So, yeah.
Well, it's good though, being open to criticism, right? Obviously, if there's someone who's higher up and they know what they're talking about, it's invaluable, right? Mm, to get someone to be like, your shit, but you can get better.
Yeah.
Mm. Let me tell you how.
Yeah.
Pyramid scheme.
Trade deal.
But I know, like, because when you go to school, the voice acting school in Japan, it's like the teachers there, like, some teachers are really, really strict. So, like, I know some students who used to go there, but because the teachers were like, too strict.
Right.
I didn't think they were able to take it mentally.
Yeah.
And they kind of like, you know, started not coming to school and stuff like that. So yeah,
it's definitely not that's a job for everyone.
Right? Trial by fire. Trial by fire, right?
Yeah.
I mean, such a competitive industry, it's bound to happen.
Yeah.
Especially in the entertainment industry as well, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a lot of stories that we will never hear the light of day. Yeah.
It's like, if you suck, you suck. You know, that's all it is.
I am curious, as a professional voice actress who's like been in the field, what do you think of the VTubing scene that's just like popped up in the last year and a bit?
Oh, well, I think it's pretty cool because, you know, I haven't really like done VTubing before.
Yeah.
But, you know, because you use your voice and you're kind of like...
playing a character.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of people are just playing an anime character, but just like they never break character or like try to stay in character for as much as possible, right?
Mm. So it's like... you're acting as like a character on YouTube, but it's not the real you. So you have to kind of like, you know, I think it's really cool because you have to think so much about the character and like how that character would act if something happens, you know?
Yeah.
Is that something you've ever like thought about getting into at all or trying out?
Not really, but I think it'll be fine if I was able to try doing VTubing.
Because I feel like VTubing is such a weird line between like acting as a character, but also like a lot of VTubers also put themselves into the role as well and kind of break character, quote unquote. So I feel it's just like another set of skills.
Why build a character when you already are one, right? Like just use your personality.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoken like a true personality.
What can I say?
You know what? You'd be a great animal VTuber. Just like, don't be a cat girl. Just be a cat.
Yeah, just a cat.
just make animal noises.
There is a VTuber actually that is just straight up a dog.
Really?
Yeah, like it's just like a Shiba Inu. But they speak in like a human.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like the gorilla as well.
Just be a cat.
You know, you don't need to act an anime girl. You've already done that before.
Yeah.
Someone gives you $10, just meow.
Yeah.
Meow louder?
No, because like I feel like there's a lot of, I don't know, like do you see a lot of people in your field doing VTubing or is it something that has just been so new that no one's really known how to like deal with it yet?
Oh, it's pretty new. So I don't really know anyone around me who's like done VTubing before.
Right.
But because it's becoming really like huge, right?
Yeah.
There's like so many like VTubers on YouTube. I think, you know, there will be like a day when...
professional voice actors doing VTubing. Yeah.
I feel though it's like maybe it might just be like a completely different category, right?
Maybe.
It's like I feel a lot of like the professional voice actors who have like made it in the industry
probably
think like, oh, I don't really need to go down that route because I got, you know, I'm getting roles and this thing, right? Whereas like VTubers are like kind of, a lot of them I feel are aspiring voice actors who just want to build up a CV, you know, of like, I can do voices, I can voice act, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I feel like going from VTubing to professional voice acting might be a viable option, but I feel the other way around might not really happen. I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know. But like, I know like, you know, like acting for games and anime is really different to acting for like VTubing. So it's like, I don't know.
You're not on script, are you? Have you ever been starstruck when you're on the job?
What do you mean by starstruck?
I know, just
as in like you did an article with like a voice actor or actress that you just loved before.
Yeah.
And like who's the most like whoa person you've ever met?
Otsuka Akio-san.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
Wait, yeah.
I need a little context too.
Otsuka Akio is like, a snake. He did Salt Snake.
Oh, okay, wow.
Like he's the guy that has that really distinct like talking style where he's like, I can't do an impression.
Please, try.
Oh my God, he's kind of like the, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, yeah. It's like, actually, yeah, Navi does a really good, like, old Scar Kyung.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, like the soul of Snake.
Yeah.
Like he's, well, I mean, but he's probably like the top five.
Yeah.
Like he's like a fucking legend.
Yeah.
Does he meme a lot on Twitter?
I don't follow him on Twitter, so I don't know.
I feel like he does, right? No? I know the English voice does.
David Hayter. I know David Hayter.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah. I could love them.
I feel that, yeah, again, like, I feel the biggest, like, memers are usually the ones that are kind of, like, the legends. Mm. But I feel like even within the legends, a lot of them, you know, take their stuff, like, very, very seriously. Yeah. Like, you know, the voice for, like, Luffy, for example, is, like, you never see her, like, memeing or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the voice for Gintoki is, like, fucking whatever.
Yeah.
He's just, like, playing his character, right?
He's literally Gintoki in real life. Yeah. Fucking awesome.
So how did you stay composed when you walk in the room with that?
It's
like, I love you.
It was so, like, nerve-wracking because, I don't know, because I've seen him in, like, magazines and, like, you know, I've read his books and, like, it was just...
Did you play it cool?
Did you?
I tried. I tried, but I don't know if I was able to. Yeah. But there was, like, all these other, like, voice actors as well who were, like, really big, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. It's, for me, it was really hard to, like, act
in front,
like,
of them?
Yeah. Because, you know, they're, like, super, super good. And you're, like, you know... Like, you just came into the industry and you're like...
the bottom of the rank.
No little place.
Yeah.
Hierarchy.
Yeah. No, pyramid scheme.
Pyramid scheme.
Have you guys ever been starstruck by, like, anyone?
I think we've talked about this. Probably for me, it was like Hiroyuki Samana. I think I've already told the story about this.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten that with, like, a YouTuber? Like, someone in the same field as you?
I don't think so. Not yet.
I don't think
so.
I know. Like, how after you do it for a while, you're just kind of like, fuck, we're so boring. We're all so boring. I sit inside.
I would be lying if I said I wasn't like that with Felix the first time.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, like, for me, the YouTubers, I view YouTubers as just, like, people I want to hang out with.
Yeah.
It's, you know, because, like, we all do the same thing at the end of the day.
Right.
I feel like once you get past a certain, like, level, you kind of get how
a certain
rank in the hierarchy, you can, like, all YouTubers kind of, like, get each other, you know, because we all got to go through, like, the same shit.
Are you a big consumer of YouTube content?
Yeah, I watch a lot of YouTube.
Really? In English?
In English and Japanese.
Well, you have a YouTube channel, right?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel too. Yeah.
Wait, no, I think I did watch one, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I watched, like, your introduction video on the YouTube channel. And I'm like, wow, this chick is very Aussie.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, she's so Aussie.
Did you do a video where you did a test to see how Aussie you were?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay, I watched that one.
With the slang?
Yeah.
Because I'm not really fond of, like, Australian slang. I don't know if
it's terrible. What's Arvo? It's nonsense.
What do you mean? That's, like, that's not slang.
That's
like, do you want a cuppa? Or, like,
a cuppa. We say that.
Well, yeah.
A cuppa. Oh, you
cuppa's good. Wait, don't. What are you on about? No, cuppa's good.
Cuppa's good. It doesn't end with O. So that's how we know it. I don't know why Aussies end everything with O. How do I?
It's just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Like, I've never used bottle O.
You never used bottle?
I've never used bottle O before.
Yeah, because, like, you're
that's a liquor store.
You're just adding a syllable to a word that doesn't need a syllable added to it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But, like, bottle O, I feel, is like, who the fuck came up with that? It's a word. Let me end a word that ends in a in a vowel with another vowel.
So non-native speakers, bottle O is the slang for bottle, right?
No. It's the slang for the liquor store.
You just thought it was a bottle this whole time.
I thought it was just a bottle this whole time. Jerry says that. I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about, Joe?
How long have you known Jerry for?
Not long enough, apparently.
What the fuck? Yeah, if you say, like, I'm just popping up
for
the bottle.
Okay, apparently for even native speakers, we get fucking confused as well.
It's like, I'm just going to pop over to the bottle. It means, like, I'm going to go buy some alcohol at the liquor store.
Liquor store.
Sorry, Americans. We've hurt you too much.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Maybe we've been too harsh on you.
So, what are some of your favorite YouTube channels? What do you want?
I watch a YouTube channel called Jolly.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that earlier, right?
Yeah.
What else?
And I watch a lot of animal videos on YouTube.
Like what? Give us a taste. Well, I want to get a better feel of your character.
I watch, my favorite dog is called a Samoyed. It's like a huge white dog.
Okay.
Right. Wait, what's the YouTube channel? What's it about?
The channel's called Milky Bulky Tan. And it's like a YouTube channel that has a Samoyed dog and two cats.
Okay.
Right. And it's just them living their life.
You just watch that?
It's an animal slice of life.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds nice. Is this what you practice? Or what?
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Is this for like, is this research for roles?
Sure it is. And it's funny because for like animal YouTube videos, like the owners are called butlers.
What?
They're called butlers because they take care of the
I didn't know that.
Right?
Oh wow.
Yeah. So like
animal YouTube terminology.
Yeah.
How do they ask you to like and subscribe and smash the like button?
They go
on the screen.
Yeah, subtitles.
Yeah, it just comes out of subtitles.
So you mainly watch animal videos?
Yeah, I mainly watch animal videos.
Damn.
There is one animal channel actually that I watch quite often.
Oh,
it's
really?
This like Korean channel, I think, mm-hmm. that it's this guy who has like a pet, I think it's a guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
But he makes miniature models for the guinea
pig. I've seen this one. Yeah.
Right. Oh, really?
So like he uses like arts and crafts and like mm-hmm. cardboard and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And he made like an onsen for his guinea
wow.
pig, and like a sound booth for his guinea pig, wow. and just like puts the guinea pig in and just like mm-hmm. sees what the guinea pig does.
Wow.
Cute as hell.
Actually, no, I did get into like there's like ant YouTubers. You seen
those? Oh, those fucking
slap. Badass.
Okay, those are good.
Yeah. Basically, it starts off with like, all right, well, he's just got a tank full of ants.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the next video will be like, I have made a giant castle network of ants. And his whole like living room will be like tunnels of ants. It's crazy.
Was that the guy who was like, who fed the baby cockroach?
Yeah.
And like the cockroach gives birth as it's getting eaten alive by ants. And it's got like 100 million views or something. And I'm just like,
I can't watch insects.
Yeah, right?
I just think of like, what happens if one of these breaks?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'm constantly thinking.
The house, it must be like quarantined off, like burn it down. Like it's
literally a kill it with fire kind of situation, right? Well, you just gotta fucking burn
like,
the house down.
How do you bring like a girl into that house, right?
Oh yeah, my bedroom's just past the ants line. Just out of the way. Just
it's like, so what do you do for a job? It's like, let me show you.
there's YouTubers that like, I know there's one that like reviews like rat traps. That's a whole channel.
What?
I actually kind of like
Why am
it.
I saying what? Of course there's a channel for
it's
that.
Like a whole channel where the dude just reviews rat traps. That's it. He like shows them.
What makes a good rat trap?
Well, you should watch the YouTube channel. That's a question I had to find myself.
Now you got me curious.
How many types of rat traps could there possibly
be? I think he has like over like 500 videos on like different rat traps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Sean was.
Of course fucking Malin knows it.
So like, yeah, my favorite.
This guy will make some insane trap. And in the end, the one that works best is always just like a ramp that goes into a bucket. That's just like the one that always works best. Anyways, I'm getting off topic, but there is a weird category for anything you want on YouTube. Someone's
done it. If it exists, there's a YouTube channel for it.
But you make your own YouTube videos, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you do it often? Wait, what's the channel called first so people can check it out?
It's called ShooTube for anyone who wants to.
It'll be on screen right now.
Yep.
Yay.
Go subscribe.
Yes, please. Right, wherever it is.
Down in the description.
What type of content do you normally do?
I usually talk in English and I just make stuff about English and Japanese food, like cultural differences and stuff like that.
Culture stuff.
Yeah, culture stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
do you like bring like the Australian side a lot or just kind
I
of every
do.
Now and then?
I think, I think I do,
What made you want to start it?
That's
the most stumped you've been all day.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
I think I just saw the life flash like in between her eyes right there.
Just like the re-zero like, yeah!
Why did I? I heard that question reverb. Yeah. Yeah.
Why did you start? Start. I don't know, just because you wanted to.
Just because you wanted to, right? I just wanted to because...
All the cool kids are starting
I'm interrogating. I'm like, you think you're a Reddit kid, huh?
Oh, you're a voice actress? No, let's see you become a YouTuber then. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, so if people want to go check out the YouTube channel, it's in the description. So go check it out.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Now you should make a video being like, the truth about trash taste.
Just like
easy million views, yeah. Right? Easy million views.
Trash taste exposed.
My experience on Trash Taste. Yeah.
I can't believe they were such nice guys. Yeah.
There was all these words.
God kept saying penetrating really weirdly. There was incest.
There was a woman
reason.
Who like put up the yeah. incest like yeah. thing. Oh yeah,
imagine be me, and you see just
that's what
this
made me held up.
This, you just see this off screen, and you're just like, what am I supposed to do with this, Malin? What am I supposed to do
not
with
just
this?
Incest. There's three fucking exclamation points, like incest. Like it's a fucking QuickTime event.
Well, I heard someone was doing like a sponsor or something, and it was a live event. Mm-hmm. And apparently, someone was holding up like cards, telling them to do reactions. And apparently, the words they wrote on the card were just like nonsensical, and they just didn't know what they meant. I can just imagine being confused. You're like trying to promote a bike, and they're like dry, and you're like, what did you say with that? Dry. The bike dries. It dries very fast.
Yeah. When you were describing your experience about how when you like flub up a line, you just got to like stay silent and just walk back.
Right.
I really hope that you don't see when we need to record like a sponsorship segment, because us trying to like read a script is just like a fucking bomb going off. It's an absolute mess. Oh,
really? It's like for some reason, I don't know what it is, but the moment we get past the script, it's like, you must learn English from scratch once again. You are not native in this language.
True.
Especially Gaunt.
Yeah, Gaunt.
Yeah,
Gaunt.
I'm the worst.
Our sponsors take twice as long as they should because Gaunt is just like having a mental breakdown halfway through. So I can't do it. I can't speak English.
Like the windows shut down like dun, 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 just happens. It's like Gaunt, come back.
So I'm just having a guess here, but I'm guessing that you like anime, right?
Yes.
It was just like a feeling. Just like, I just got that vibe. I don't know where I got it from. Mm-hmm. So what kind of anime do you like?
I watch a lot of anime. I like-
Really? Name every anime. Oh, you're an anime fan?
I like Creamy Mommy.
Wow.
That's not the first show that I would have expected coming from your mouth.
I really like Creamy Mommy.
When I first heard that.
What's Creamy Mommy?
It's like, there's a girl called Mommy.
Right.
And she's
creamy.
Yeah, she's really
She hella creamy, dog.
It's a very unfortunate name in English.
That's what I was thinking,
yeah, it's
right?
Very unfortunate.
It's creamy, it's like a magical girl anime.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that yes, one, yeah, that yeah, one, that yeah. one. Okay.
I think it was aired in like the 1980s or something.
Yeah,
like
and that's your favorite?
Yeah.
Wow.
Recent animes, I watch Boku no Hero Academia. Yeah,
of course.
Haikyuu, Maoru Pingu Doramu. Psychopass.
Yeah.
Oh, like the list. Violet Evergarden.
Oh, damn.
I love how you, it's so Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
no, it's perfect.
God, mate, isn't it?
The weebs watching this are just frothing out. Yeah. It's like, oh, Japanese.
You feel like I'm listening to like one of those PVs that you see, right?
Violet Evergarden.
Airing this spring.
Psychopass.
Sorry, carry on,
sorry.
I watch Shingeki no Kyojin.
Hell yeah.
Attack on Titan.
Hell yeah.
What else watch? Oh, I watch so much. Yakusoku no Neverland.
Yeah.
I
did you watch season 2?
Not yet.
Okay. we'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
Let us know how you feel about it. Yeah.
I can already tell that you watch quite a fair bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Considering the fact that not only was your first choice Creamy Mommy, but yeah. also the fact that you brought up Mild Penguin Drum.
Oh, yeah.
I love like, it.
And Psycho Pass as well.
I love Psycho Pass.
Yeah, I just kept nodding with that penguin one. I'm like, yeah.
What is that? Penguin Drum is like, oh God, how do you explain that?
It's really hard to explain.
It's such a weird show.
Yeah.
You've definitely seen clips of it though.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of animals.
Yeah, it's got a lot
Which
of-
makes a lot of sense.
I think I'm seeing a theme here now.
Do you like Beastars by any chance?
Oh, I watched
Beastars. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Of course you did.
I'm trying to think about that. Zootopia.
Yeah. Zootopia.
Zootopia.
I like Pets.
Pets?
You know, like this. Wait, isn't there a movie called Pets?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But like the Pixar or Disney film. Yeah.
I thought you were just, saying, I like having animals.
I mean, I do like having animals.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, so like, what were some of the anime that were like the biggest influences for you to like be a voice actress when you were a kid?
I think Bleach was.
Bleach?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, because obviously, like, Hitsugaya was. Voiced by a lady, and all the actors were like, you know, like so like
I mean, they were cool as fuck. We've said a lot about Bleach, but I mean, everything about it was cool. You know,
especially Hitsugaya, right? Like Romy Park is such an amazing voice.
Yeah.
You know, like especially like I think she did Alphonse as well, right?
No, she did Edward.
Oh, she did Edward.
Yeah.
I would know that.
Yeah.
And she's Hanji from Attack on Titan.
That's right.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. She's like, wow. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Did you like, when you were trying to get into the voice acting field, or like, how much research did you do with like fellow voice actresses in the field, or like fellow like voice actors?
Oh, as in like, what kind of research?
Like just like looking into it, right? Because I know there are some fans out there in the anime field who are like really, really into like the voice actors and voice actresses, right? Well, were you like that as well? Were you like...
Seiyu Otaku. Yeah, I was like Seiyu Otaku. I had like posters of voice actors on my wall, and I would have like them as my back, like as my wallpaper. And so like... I would like search like, you know, who voiced, like who, like I would be like, when I watch an anime, I would always watch the credits.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, like, you know, this was voiced by this, like this voice actor. And I'm like, ah! And so like, yeah.
Did you ever sit through an anime just because of like a particular voice actor was in it?
I feel because
a couple of friends who are like Seiyu Otakus as well. And they're like, they could hear like half a second of a phrase and they're immediately like, yep, that's that voice.
Instantly know it. Yeah.
Did you ever get to the point where you bought like voice CDs?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, what's this?
It's like, there's a lot of like different kinds of voice CDs out in the world. And there's like there's like voice dramas, and there's also ones where they kind of like, talk to you.
It's like think of a podcast, except you're doing the podcast with them, and it's in like POV.
Yeah.
This became
POV. You're part of Trash Taste.
It's like an ASMR thing on YouTube now.
Yeah, so I guess they made it.
Yeah.
And they use like,
but they act as those characters.
Yeah. And they also have like they have these microphones. And it's kind of like, it's shaped like a person's face.
The binaural microphones.
Yeah. And then they use that to take some of the audio. So it's like, sometimes you hear the audio from the right side and it kind of seems like they're there.
Oh, it's like the ASMR
thing. Yeah, it's the ASMR mic.
Norman made a mic and it's literally like a foam head.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Super fucking expensive. Mm.
Yeah, it's really fucking weird to make it as well. Because you're talking into like a fake head. Yeah. It looks really weird.
but I think decades now, these like voice actors do these like drama CDs where they were like, for example, like, you know, Romy Park would do one of Hitsugaya, and it's like if Hitsugaya was like hanging out with you, if you were on a date with this particular character, and they would like, they would play out these scenarios in POV of like if you were in that position, and like people would just like listen to it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've seen like some of the short anime that are kind of like that, where it's just like POV, you have a girlfriend. It's just like every episode there's like a different girl.
It's
like
literally
that.
Dora the Explorer. because I've seen some where they're like, they would say a line and then they kind of pause for a couple of seconds waiting for your response.
I think I remember I loved Code Geass. When I finished Code Geass, I need more Code Geass. And they're like, the story continues in an audio CD.
I got it
and it just sound like a museum tour, you know what I mean? And I was like, what is this? I can't listen to this.
It's like, welcome to Britannia.
It's like, Britannia was once here. And it's like, what the fuck is this?
It's like a lecture.
Yeah, what the, I was like, what is this? I don't want to listen to this.
See, your tacos dig that shit up, man.
I've actually only bought one audio CD in like my entire time of being an anime fan.
What was it?
It's for Love Hina.
Yeah, dude. Wait, who?
Huh?
Of who?
No, it was just like an audio drama. So it was because like it ended, and I'm just like, I need more. I the manga's not doing it for me. I need to hear the voice actors and actresses playing out the ending of this. And so I fucking bought it, and it's the only audio drama I've bought so far. I don't regret anything. It was amazing.
I think the closest I ever got to that was I used to tune in, because like a lot of voice actors, especially like the top ones, do like radio shows.
Oh yeah, they do.
Like talking about their role in the anime, of like, you know, if they like work together on an anime or whatever, and they would, you know, go for like however long the anime spans for, basically. So like the closest I ever got to that was I used to like tune in every week to Kajiyuki and Shimo no Hiro, like Attack on Titan, radio. Cool. And it was really cool because like they would openly just like kind of poke fun at the show a lot of the time as well. But it's also like, I mean, yeah, you guys are the voices of the show. So I guess that gives you like some credit to be like, that was kind of ridiculous, wasn't it?
Is it still a big thing in Japan, the audio CDs?
It is. I think it's getting bigger now. Like, because
I guess MP3s are easier to sell, right?
And I mean, like we just established, it's more about building yourself up as like a kind of like an idol in some cases, right?
Is there like anything, I mean, how many years have you been doing voice acting now, like professionally?
5 years now, because I debuted in 2016.
Right.
So 5 years now.
5 years now. Yeah. Is there any like voice role or like type of character that you haven't done yet that you really, really want to do? Like, I want to do like a tsundere, or I want to do like a maid, or like just, you know, any like archetype that you want to do?
I want to try like a boy.
A boy?
Like because
I guess that's the Romy Parkin.
It's a guy right there.
Like, you know, shonen.
Shonen. I mean, like a lot of like kind of younger boy characters are voiced by females, aren't they?
Yeah, like, they are. The
Because, you know, people keep forgetting that like Ash or like Naruto are voiced by females.
And Luffy as
Luffy
well.
As well.
Luffy
as
voiced by females. Or Goku is voiced by female.
Kids are expensive.
Kids and normally don't have proper voice actor acting training, you know?
Taking direction. What do you mean, goo goo gaga? I said, do the line.
So I have a testy pop off.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God, if Goku was voiced by like a young boy and he just like fucking has a testy pop halfway through a Kamehameha.
We need more voice cracks in anime. That's what we need. We need more realistic representations of puberty.
Hell yeah.
Have you ever done any events where you meet your fans or anything like that?
Yes, I have. I'm in this vocal dance unit called Prima Porta.
Okay.
And we had like this thing called Watashikai, where we like hand the CDs to the people who bought the CDs.
Right.
And we were able to like talk to the fans for like 30 seconds, a minute.
Right. Now they really speed run that.
Is it kind of like the same thing as in like with like, I know a lot of the Watashikai with like idols, for instance.
That's the handshaking event.
Yeah, but the time extends depending on how many CDs you bought.
Oh, we didn't have that. It was kind of like...
hierarchy.
Yeah.
Did you have to do a handshaking thing as well?
Oh no, we didn't do handshaking. It was more like waving.
Oh,
and just talking, like,
waving in close proximity.
Well, I saw videos of like guys not letting go and like security like dragging them.
I guess it is
so scary.
Yeah, it's a risk. Yeah, definitely. Is it weird? Like when the first time that you had to do that, is it a weird feeling to be like, wow, these people came for me?
Yeah, it feels really like, cause you know, like on the internet, like SNS, like you don't know how many people are actually like, into you. Like, they might comment and stuff like that, but you don't know like if they're really, really like, you know, like,
Yeah.
And then so when you actually go and like meet people and they're like, oh my gosh, I've been wanting to meet you for like so long. You're like, I'm so glad I did this job.
So glad I had to fight my parents.
Yeah.
It makes it all worth it.
Yeah. It does.
You feel like, wow, somebody cares.
It's just like being able to meet all those people. And even if you can't like talk to everyone, just seeing them and like, you know, when you're like, when you attend events and stuff and they're like calling out your name, it's you feel really happy. So
like for me, you know, you're sharing for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're the best mate. Yeah, best POV of my life. That sounds so fun. Do you go to many events then? Obviously now I imagine it's not so much.
But. Yeah. But I like before like this all happened, like, I used to like attend events pretty often. And
have you been on the other side? Like,
Yes, I actually have. Like before going into this industry, I would buy tickets to like concerts and lives and I'll be like,
you buy the CDs.
I'll buy, like, the CDs and I'll buy the goods.
Yeah.
He waved at me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'd be really awkward if you turn up to the voice session. They'd be like, why do I know you? Yeah. I swear I met you. Where? You can't put my finger. You're like, nowhere. We did not meet.
It was so funny because one time I went to like a concert and it was like a female voice actors concert.
Mm. Right.
And like her fans were like mostly male. But yeah. I really liked her. So like I went there by myself and all the fans were like male, right? So like it'll be like one girl and all these males. And because I think they thought that it was really rare that a girl would come to that concert. Yeah. They were kind of like, to me, like, if I get too like noisy using the, like the blades, like, please let me know. Like, kyou wa yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
Like, wow. Oh, this is so trying to impress you?
I don't know.
I don't mean to brag, but I can wave these bad boys for 2 hours.
Yo, is this your first concert? Let me show you how a pro does it.
Sorry, let me put away my gun. I felt the exact same way when I went to the Sailor Moon Museum.
Oh.
Because it was like 5 years ago in the Moriarty Museum in Roppongi. And they had a Sailor Moon Museum. Mm. And I was like, I fucking love Sailor Moon. Mm. Yeah. So I went. Imagine room full of just like tiny like Japanese girls. They're falling over Sailor Moon. Meanwhile, in the middle of it, there's this massive white dude. Just being like, that's so fucking cute. Oh my God, dude. I fucking love Mercury. I've never had so many women stare at me for all the wrong reasons. It was the weirdest experience of my life.
You do not belong here.
Yeah, no, they're all looking at me like, what? Is he like starved? Like, why are you here?
Security, right?
It's like, what? Am I not allowed to like Sailor Moon? Mm. Fuck you. Yeah, but is there any like kind of social media that you want to shout out? Like, I guess your YouTube channel? Anything you want to shout out to the audience?
I have a Twitter account. If people want to follow it.
They will follow.
Just follow. Follow. Okay. Follow.
Follow. Follow. We'll do it for you.
Also, Shu's YouTube channel. Shu.
What else do you have, Shu?
That's all I have.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's
no TikTok?
No. No TikTok. No Instagram.
How do you do the trendy dances?
Yeah, actually, TikTok would be like the perfect platform that's to show true. Off all your skills that you literally trained years for.
That's true.
Like your singing skills that you literally had to hide it from your mum.
Yeah.
Your voice acting skills.
Oh, yeah.
You can literally do that on TikTok.
So anyway, maybe I should download TikTok. YouTube,
follow Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go.
Buy her drama CDs. Yeah.
Yes,
you,
please.
POV, you are a princess.
And listen to her in your favorite anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, please. And games.
And games and everything.
And
everything.
Yes.
Yeah, check out her stuff. But in the meantime, you can check out the lovely patrons who are
look
just on screen right now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Who's your favorite patron, Shu? Is it that one? That one?
Point somewhere on the screen.
What?
That'll be Woods.
This one.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I like that one.
Frothing at the mouth. But yeah, if you'd like to support the show, then make sure to head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/trashtaste. Also, follow us on Twitter. Send us your memes on the subreddit. And if you hate our faces, listen to us on Spotify. But yeah, thanks for coming, Shu.
Thank you for inviting me. It was really fun.
Yeah, I hope you had fun.
It was really fun.
Even through some of the dodgy words that we used or whatever.
Shu's manager is just like sweating.
I'm sorry you had to see this off screen. That was like a bad.
We can hold on to that for like any like emergent. For any like emergency situations, we can just like.
Was,
if ever there's a situation, I'll just be like.
Well, one day, Maylin's going to be like, guys, I have the perfect thing to show. We'll keep it for the next hentai episode, man.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode and we'll see you guys next one.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.